I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Scripture this morning is from the first chapter of Genesis, verse 26 through 31. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our own image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in His image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything He had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, there was morning, the sixth day. The word of God for the children of God.
Thank you, Lee. You know, I've always loved the creation story. I don't know about you, but I think it's one of the great stories in the Bible. Apparently, many others do too, because movies have been made about it, songs written about it, and books written about it, in addition to the Bible. The creation story is one that truly sums up God's commitment to and love for not only the earth, but for us. Think about it. We were created in His image. In His image. He gave us dominion over everything, which shows a very deep trust. And provided the water and food. It is only befitting we give Him our love and respect, right? If we had no other scripture but this, we would have to say, I think, we are greatly loved and greatly taken care of. God being God, He even gave us companions on earth. Food, water, companionship, it's amazing. He gave us earth as our home. Earth is our home. Not just Texarkana, Texas. Earth is our home. It's in the home we first develop our sense of who we are. Every child has a right to a secure, happy home life. Every child has a right to the love and nurture of his or her parents. Like identity is the question of self-worth. Now, Dr. James Dobson, author of several really excellent books on raising children, cautions us a child can learn to doubt his worth at home even when he is deeply loved by his parents. Destructive ideas find their way into his thinking process, leading him to conclude he is ugly or incredibly stupid, or he has already proved himself to be a hopeless failure in life. Children pick these things up. And it's not always just in our home. It's out there in the world. The famous psychiatrist, Dr. Alfred Adler, had an experience when he was a young boy which kind of illustrates this powerful belief that you can gain as a child. He got off to a bad start in arithmetic. Anybody here have problems with math? His teacher became convinced he was dumb in mathematics. The teacher then advised the parents of this fact, as she put it, and told them not to expect too much of him, and they too were convinced. Does that affect your life? Adler passively accepted the evaluation they had placed upon him, and his grades in arithmetic proved they had been correct. Until one day, he had a sudden flash of insight and thought he saw how to work a problem the teacher had put on the board. And it was one that none of the other pupils could work. He announced as much to the teacher. She and the whole class laughed at him. Whereupon he became indignant, strode to the blackboard, and worked the problem much to their amazement. In doing so, he realized he could understand arithmetic. He felt a new confidence in his ability and went on to become a good math student. If we wish to create, here are the words, if we wish to create a mentally healthy family, we need to encourage our children and our spouse. We need not only to surround them with love, but we need to help them feel competent as a person and to believe in themselves. And all too often, we find ourselves joining in when someone says, our child has a problem. And I'll tell you on a personal note, when Seth was in the second grade, his teacher said, he'll never do mathematics, ever. He will never be able to do anything but addition and subtraction. He can't do multiplication and division. It was only within 3 years he was making straight A's in math. We didn't buy it. We didn't believe what we were being told, and we encouraged and helped, which is what all of us should be doing for one another. Not just our families, but our friends, our church family. Here's the thing. If we believe God created the earth and all that is on it, and we believe he turned it over to us, then we must believe he made us creators like him. Think about it. It would be difficult to have dominion without being a creator. For example, create a family. Create a safe environment for our family and animals. Create jobs and systems to support families and animals. Create medicines to help keep people healthy. We are creators. That's what we're here for. We create new things every day. You heard me when I was talking to Caden. Do we not create things every day? And we say, oh my gosh. What is it, the greatest generation? Would never believe. All of those folks that died in World War II would not believe where we are today. I have trouble believing it. I mean, I remember the old landline. There was no cell phone. I remember life before laptops and computers. And I'm not from that generation. The list can go. The earth was flooded. God had Noah create a safe place for his family and the animals of the world. Never doubt that you are a creator. You are. If you have not seen yourself as a creator, you really should. Which, by the way, that oldest generation, the greatest generation, I think all three of my kids came from Generation Y, because every time I asked them to do something, they said, why? What else can we learn from this passage of Scripture? Let's try this. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Now, I can tell you, people have said, in my 40 years of ministry, they've come up and said, yeah, that means that we're supposed to have lots of kids. And I ask that we expand our understanding of this important piece of Scripture. While having children is no doubt part of this, there is an equally important part to the message. Listen, be fruitful. Make good things happen. Improve life for you and your children. Improve life for your brothers and sisters. Create better ways to live and love. Fill the earth with this, and you will subdue it. Doesn't this sound familiar? I mean, you read this creation story, I personally don't think you can help but think of Jesus Christ. Matthew 5, 21 through 26. You have heard it said, to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you, if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift right there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny, until you have reconciled yourself to others, until you have created a better life for you and the person who has something against you or you have against them. Create a better environment. Subdue anger and hate. And you do that by loving one another as he loved us. Loving your neighbor as yourself. In other words, fill the earth with love, justice, and forgiveness. Subdue the anger and hate in the world. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? If, as creators, we created a better world. Gosh, we talk about it, but we never do it. And one of the reasons is we disagree on how that should happen. A rabbi likes to tell the story of two brothers who went to their rabbi to settle a long-standing feud. The rabbi got the two to reconcile their differences and shake hands. As they were about to leave, he asked each one to make a wish for the other in honor of the Jewish New Year. The first brother turned to the second and said, "I wish you what you wish me." At that, the second brother threw up his hands and said, "See, Rabbi, he's starting it all over again." Because we're not always sincere. We say we want peace. We say we want love. We say we want to be with others. But we don't really mean it. Because we never do anything to create that environment. What God and His Son are talking about is not fake or insincere forgiveness of others, but a genuine forgiveness. Not a fake, "I love you" kind of love, but a genuine, heartfelt, "I love you." Our scripture goes on to say, God gave us everything. That is, God said, "See, I have given you every plant-yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth," excuse me, "and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, everything that has the breath of life. I have given you every green plant for food." And it was so. Look what God has given us. Given to us. The very people who have since shown a lack of respect and appreciation of gifts. Even the gift of God's Son. There was a young man, 23 years old. And he got himself a graduation present. His family, which was well-to-do, gave him the opportunity to tour Europe the entire summer. He traveled about Europe on trains, boats, and sometimes by bicycle. Finally, he ended up on the beaches of France, where he was determined to spend the rest of the summer. His parents, who had paid for his trip, insisted he stop and see relatives in Switzerland. It was the last thing he wanted to do. He wanted to stay on the beach. But his mother, as mothers can do, would not let up. She insisted that he visit the relatives in Switzerland. And she warned him to make a good impression. Has your mom ever warned you to make a good impression? So reluctantly, he took the train to the Alps. He had spent all of his money on having fun at the beach, and as a consequence, he only had $3 in his pocket. So when he arrived in his relative's town, he got to thinking, I got to make a good impression. If I don't, my mother will be very angry. So he began to walk all over town looking for a gift for these relatives. And as he walked around, he found that $3 wasn't going to buy anything. So he looked over and he saw this shop where this beautiful girl was. And he decided, I'm going to go to that shop. So he goes to the shop, and the young woman caught his eye as he walked in the door, and it happened to be a fine crystal store. Get your fine crystal right there. So he began to talk to the girl, forgetting about what it was he was there for, and they were laughing and joking, and finally the girl, as she was speaking, was holding this beautiful crystal bowl, and she dropped it. And it broke into three pieces. Well, the boss came out and chewed her out, and she ran to the back room crying. But the young man had an idea, and he thought, this is the perfect opportunity. I'll give you $3 for those three pieces. And please wrap it. I'm taking it to family. And they sold him the crystal. $3. They wrapped it, and they brought it out to him in a box. This young man was clever. He had a plan. So upon his arrival at his relative's house, he pretended to trip, and he fell and dropped the box. And he thought, this did it. I get to spend the rest of the summer on the beach. My mother will be very impressed. I mean, it's an accident. No problem. And he said, oh, I'm so sorry for my clumsiness. I got you this crystal bowl, and he handed it to him, and they opened it up, and there were three pieces individually wrapped. Individually wrapped. We may try to fake our love for God, but he sees the pieces of our lives. He sees how broken we are, and he still loves us, and he forgives us. So much so that he gave us the gift of his only son. All too often we do not take the opportunities that God puts before us, and we see people and we judge them by their looks, or we judge them by their voice. Why? Why is it if someone came through that door right now wearing a t-shirt and jeans and had tattoos all over their arms and their neck, would we want to turn and say, oh my gosh, I can't believe that walked in? Believe it or not, there are people that would say that. But how many people would get up, walk over, shake his hand, say, hey, come on in. You're a child of God. We have people in this neighborhood that walk around us all the time, and I can assure you some of them that come to the door during the week, I am stunned, but I open the door, and I offer them the love of God, and I offer them food if we have it. That is creating a better environment. We are put here as creators, and if we're not about creating a safe environment for people who are different, if we're not about loving people who are different, what are we creating? Animosity, hate, distance? I would encourage you to take the opportunities that God provides and to become a creator of wonderful things, of good things, of acceptance, of love, of peace, justice. Forgive those who hurt you or disappoint you. That's one of the hardest things to do. I was hurt, so I'm not forgiving you. But I'll say this, and Jesus talks about it, and you can take it to the bank. When you forgive somebody, it's just as good, if not better, for you than it is for the person you forgive. And last, but certainly not least, accept the gift of Christ. That is definitely good for you. Christ gave His life that we may be the creators that God has set us here to be. So create a wonderful family. Create love with your brothers and sisters, whether by blood or by church. We have that chance. So when you read this story, I ask that you consider that God put us in charge of everything, including creating everything beyond that. Create. You have the ability. God gave it to you. Let us pray. God of love and God of creation, we come before you this day oftentimes feeling that we have no control, no power, that there is nothing in our lives that we can do about situations, but we forget that you have given us the power to create. You have given us the power to change what is wrong in this world. You have given us the power to love others and to help them feel accepted. Be with us. Fill us with your Spirit. Show us the way that we may fulfill all that you have placed us on earth to do. For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.